Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We bless the name of Jesus. We are excited tonight, this evening, about the Holy Spirit. We are asking the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us. You know, sometimes we just need God to just fall upon us, to give us that peace, to give us that direction that we stand in need of. When the enemy try to come and just eat up our flesh and try to bother us in every single area, we just ask God to come and give us that peace that we stand in need of. I just encourage you. We got an awesome word tonight. We're going to be talking about how to try a spirit, how to know what spirit that you're dealing with. For this battle is not flesh and blood, but we have to fight the spiritual battle. So I encourage you to stay tuned, be blessed with the music, and I'll be right back. I'm excited about the word that God has given tonight for his people. And I thank everyone for tuning in. We won't be with you long, but I just pray that you're blessed by the word. Ask the Holy Spirit to just fall on you. Tell him with a sincere heart, he'll come, he'll step in, he'll be there for you. Tell him you can't live without him. Tell him you've got to have him. Yes, he will lead, guide, and direct you. Tell him. Oh, we bless your name, Lord God. We need you to fall, so that we won't get in the flesh. We need you to fall so we can stay in peace, so we won't begin to curse and fight and be upset. We need you to fall on us so we can stay at peace. Yes, even though we're tried on every side, we can depend on God. But we have to let him. We have to let him lead us. We have to not react when the enemy tried to get us out of our peace zone with God. But we began to pray and we began to thank God for our peace and thank him for where he has brought us from and where he is taking us to. I'm telling you, it's something to get excited about. Yes, on this beautiful, beautiful summer day. We got so much to thank God for. And if you didn't get a chance to go to church today, I pray that you receive a word from on high as he fall fresh on you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, we're going to cover the lines with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go forth with the message. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have looked beyond our faults and you see our needs. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for anything we have done, said, or even thought that would keep us from being in your presence, that will keep us from receiving the blessings of the kingdom. Father, we ask you right now to open up every ear gate. Open up the minds, the heart of your people that's on this line, and even those that are on the internet, Father, and even those that are on Skype, that's Skyping tonight. Father, we ask you, Lord God, as we have set time apart just to talk about the goodness of God, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And we say, amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to try a spirit. By their fruit, the word says, that you will know them. So you will know spirits by what they do. If they produce bad fruit, it's not God. And if they produce good fruit, the word of God says, it is God, it is I. You know, my mind went back, and I just started thinking about spirits. And I've had people ask me, how do you know a spirit? And I don't think I was ever able to give a satisfactory answer to that question. I feel that they went away a little bit confused because I wasn't really sure at that time. But tonight I'm sure. And I believe that there's a real need for this information in the body of Christ to God's believer. Now, how to try a spirit is indeed important because we need to recognize evil spirits that are now working in this world and even working sometime in our lives. These evil spirits, they try to emulate the Spirit of God. And we must learn to try them by the fruit. Now, even sometimes the elect of God, the Bible say, would be deceived. But I encourage you to listen to the word of God and be blessed tonight. You know, we're going to talk about trying spirits, knowing them by the fruit they bear. I'm going to ask you, if you got your Bibles out, I'm going to encourage you to get your Bible, and I pray that you have a Bible. Everybody need a Bible. And guess what? Even though we have Bibles, sometimes we don't even open the Bibles up. So I want to encourage you to get your Bible out. Just open your Bible up and turn to Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. Yes. And let's see what the Word of God has to say. It says, the Bible says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, and freely give. Now, if the Bible tell us to heal the sick, why do we have so many sick among us? Why is the enemy so prevalent? Why is every time you look around, the enemy is in operation? The devil is busy. But we know that God is busy too. And we're going to keep our minds focused on that God is busier than the enemy. You know, the Lord lead us to begin prayer meetings every time we open up a meeting. But a lot of times people come and they hear the word of God and they leave the same way they came, not healed from their sickness, not set free from demons, not walking in the peace of God. And that's what God wants. God wants miracles. He wants signs and wonders. He wants even the enemy, unbelievers, to say, that must have been God. You know, I see God have really changed her life, or I see God have really changed his life. I see a difference in that person, and I know that God did it. That's what the Lord wants to see in our lives. You know, as people begin to seek help and reach out and want to be set free, and they don't know where to go to, they don't know where to come to, because a lot of times in the church it's so much scandal, it's so much sin, and they feel like, why go to church? They're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're sick like I'm sick. But I'll tell you what, the word of God says to forsake not to assemble yourself together with the saints. Yes, everybody is not going to be right. And yes, the enemy goes to church. The devil goes to church. But guess what? God rules the church. Now let's talk about this. We're going to go into the session about trying the spirit by the spirit. How do you know that these spirits are the enemies? You know, the enemy will try to act like God. He'll even try to speak like God. And you know what? He'll even trick us if we're not careful. Okay, just say for instance, the demon would carry hate and murder and suicide and malice and strife and gossip. See, those are spirits that live in bodies, that live in people. And we have to be able to identify him. Out of our own mouths, sometimes the enemy comes out. And if he does, I guarantee you that he's living inside of you. So we have to be careful to recognize him when he comes forth. Why? Because he creates habit in our lives. When he creates that habit, what he'll do is he'll start attacking our health. And he'll live there. He'll live in our bodies. And we'll wonder why we're not feeling well, why we got these headaches. Yes, because the enemy began to attack our bodies. He will attack our minds, and he will manifest out of our mouths. Yes, he will. And I'm going to show you in the scripture that it's true. You know, often many of God's people have been wounded in action, and the demon is just having a field go in our bodies and in our minds. And we'll go to church every Sunday, but we walk around evil. We're always complaining, but yet we go to church, and yet we're not getting better. The demon, he wants to steal not just our minds, but he literally wants to take our bodies so he can take our souls. You know, I'm gonna talk about how we can rightly divide the word of truth. And when I begin, I want you to have your Bibles out so that you can go along with me. The Bible in 2 Timothy 2 and 5 talks about to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So we need to rightly divide the word of truth. So since I didn't know a demon from a manifestation, I would be shattered instead of growing. See, a manifestation of a demon is when a person is feeling a certain way, and then they're not talking about it. But a manifestation is when they react to how they're feeling. Okay. You know, when the Spirit led Jesus, and what happened is manifestations of demons came forth when Jesus began to speak. And they literally began to talk to him. Have you ever had that happen to you, where demons began to speak? Oh, yes. I've heard that. I've had that happen. And I'm telling you, you will know them by the fruit they bear. You can call out a demon. Just say, you might say, a jealous demon. And I'm going to tell you, the only dog going to bark is that demon. If the person is not jealous, they won't say a word. But the one that opened their mouth, that demon is living right inside of them. Isaiah, he talked about the word is the light, and those who want the light will follow it. Isaiah 8, verse 19 and 20. And what I mean by that is, if you want truth, you have to seek truth. If you want to know more about God and about demons and about angels and the Holy Ghost, you got to study the Word of God, because the truth is in the Word of God. And Satan would have us where we don't understand what's happening when demons manifest. Well, the first spirit we're going to talk about is, we're going to talk about the spirit of bondage. The spirit of bondage is an evil spirit that want to keep you in bondage, want to keep you from moving forward, will cause you to feel depressed. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about how the manifestation of the spirit of bondage come forth. The spirit of bondage will come forth with fear. Fear that you can't make it, fear that you're not going to be able to do this, fear where you're going to end up, fear that you ain't going to have enough money, or fear you're going to lose your job, or fear that something might happen to you. That's the manifestation of the spirit of bondage. And then even a dumb spirit or a deaf spirit. See, I suppose the Father decided that it was time for you and I to learn more about how the manifestation of these spirits come forth. A mental depression can cause a person to withdraw from their purpose. That you can be so stressed that you don't feel like pressing and moving forward because of obstacles, because this didn't go your way, or that didn't go your way, or this wasn't in your plan, and the enemy then throwed all these obstacles in your way, and now you're tired, and now you're feeling depressed, and now you're feeling like you can't make it. You know, you got to keep pressing in. You press in to the mark of the high calling. The Lord showed me a vision. The human being who are bound up and in cells, these beings are held captive by Satan and could not free themselves. And they are truly crushed and shattered and despaired. And they don't know how to be set free. But the key thing that we must know is, How to Be Set Free. Listen to this. The Word of God says in Romans 8 and 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Romans 8 and 15. Now, the manifestation of the spirit of bondage, anguish of spirit. Now, that means human spirit. You can find that in Exodus 6 and 9. And I'm going to give you the scriptures to look at, to look up, so that you can go along with me. Bitterness. Exodus 1 and 14. Satanic captivity, imprisonment, slavery, in 2 Timothy 2 and 26. The blind, spiritually, those in darkness, outer darkness, outside of Christ is what I'm talking about. Matthew 4 and 16. The bruised, the crushed, shattered lives, the broken in heart and in soul, in mind and body. Luke 4 and 18. The oppressed. Acts 10 and 38. You know, I can go on and on and on. And as I said, I won't be with you long, but I wanted to talk about the spirit of bondage, the evil spirit of slavery and satanic activity, captivity, that it produced. He must be bound and cast out. Matthew 12 and 29. Read it. It's there. We can overcome, subdue, made to be the servant of corruption. 2 Peter 2 and 19. The spirit of adoption. Jesus, ministering the spirit that is of God. He is to be loosed and set forth to break all bondage and to bring one into sonship. Yes, the human spirit, deciding factor as to which of the two spirits will dominate. You know, I can go on and on with this, but I'll tell you, the manifestation of the spirit of fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Boy, I'll tell you, the manifestation of the spirit of fear. That's how you discern what it is. Torment, horror, dread, fear of death, anxiety, nightmares. It's a manifestation of the spirit of fear, worrying, inferiority, rejection, tension, stress, headaches, fear of man, phobias. It's the manifestation of the spirit of fear. We have to know the difference, the manifestation of the spirit of fear. I'm telling you, we're going to take a brief break, and I'll be right back.
Anybody want to press a little further? Anybody want to press a little further? Somebody lift your voice into the Lord. Tell him, God, I want to press a little further. Press in your presence, Jesus. Come on, we're about to get out of your way, but we want to press a little further, amen. If I can just press in your presence, behold. your face. If I can just press in your presence and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence and leave all my cares behind me, I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just lay at your feet, for I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just praise at your feet, right here in your presence. Somebody come on and tell the Lord you want to press a little deeper. Somebody tell the Lord, if I can just press,
if I can just press
in your presence,
behold the beauty of your face.
If I can just press in your presence and never leave this place again. If I can just press in your presence and leave all my cares where they are, I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just lay at your feet. But I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just praise at your feet. I will be whole. I'll still believe. I will just lay at your feet. But I will be whole.
This is my daily bread. Oh Lord, this is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Don't wanna live without you, Lord. And I'm lost without you. Oh,
couple of weeks or so, we've been talking about the call to worship and last. last week we talked about, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, last week's CD, we will make sure we have some available during the week for those of you that are interested in last week's CD. We have to make some more copies, praise God, and get them into your hands, amen. In Psalms 149, we have a very unique scripture here. It says, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord take pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud, not silent, upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Hallelujah. We'd like for you to also to turn over to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Just go right in your Bible for a little bit. And we're not going to take as much time as you think. Amen. But we're going to take enough time because, I mean, I love praising God. I've been having me a blast. I don't know. I think each Sunday I've left with my voice being altered and changed just a bit. Hallelujah. But tell me something new. Amen. And Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, verse 11, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, mind you, even though the reading here, it seemed to be referring to the king of Tyrus, I want you to understand it's not just talking about this physical being or this human being, this actual king. It really is referring to something behind the king. Anyone ever read the book, This Present Darkness? Anybody ever read that book? It came out in the latter 80s. Okay, praise God. I got one head shaker in the back. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's an excellent book. It's called This Present Darkness, and it is a novel about spiritual warfare. And it's in the setting is absolutely, it was a bestseller back in the end of the 80s. Amen. And praise God. Hopefully one day they will put that movie on the big screen. But in the book, it talked about how the most powerful human being in this region was actually under the subjection of a demon or a principality or some evil spirit. And here, this man, Tyrus, is one of those types. And so what the man did in the natural, it was under the full influence of the demon or unclean spirit or principality that was ruling him. So this King Tyrus was one of those men. It says, thou hast been in Eden. See, the king had not been in Eden. So it's talking about this personality behind the king. Thou, and the king wasn't perfect in beauty. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, verse 13. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tablets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. And I want you to stick a note there, because it's the workmanship of thy tabrets. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covered. Now, please understand, this thing, this being, this personality, this created entity, when it was created perfect. And when it was created as the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee, so thou wast, upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So this perfect being, this perfect creature, was perfect in every way, just like God created it, until one day iniquity was found in it. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. So now the iniquity caused the entity of this created being that now had iniquity in it, it caused this thing to sin. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. Now, mind you, I want you to take a note here. This thing goes from being the anointed cherub to now only as the covering cherub. It's not anointed anymore. Why? Because of the iniquity and because now of the act of sin. From the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. This thing fell in love with itself. It started to love itself more than anything else. And I know, praise God, we don't have any folk in here stuck on themselves. Anybody heard of Narcissus? What's his name? Right, y'all heard this story about him. He saw himself in a reflection in a pond, in the water, and he fell in love with himself. Anybody heard of narcissism? That's where it comes from. Narcissism is all about me, because I love me. It's me, 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 me. And it started with this creature. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Anybody here a king? Since you're born again, or do we have any kings in here in the kingdom? If you are born again, if you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that you are king. And look what it says here. It says, I will lay thee. Verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, rather. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. We want to go a little further in this conversation about praise and worship. First of all, again, we want you to understand the covering cherub. That's what we talk about very quickly, the covering cherub. Some of y'all have been here for the last few weeks, and what is worship? Worship is what? The act and the attitude of wholeheartedly giving yourself to God, spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to repeat that again for those of you that have not been here, all right? But the rest of y'all, come on now. Worship is the, first of all, it is the what? The act. Second of all, and the what attitude of wholeheartedly giving yourself to God, spirit, soul, and body. Here's something for you to write down too. One unit of worship equates or is defined as a sacrifice. Anytime you sacrificing to God, and some of you felt it, you felt like, Lord, I can't do this. And Lord, you're asking too much. Well, God said, this is a sacrifice. And the very act of you going through that process and yielding to God is worship. Are y'all listening to me? Now, you were created by God to worship him. Now, if you don't worship God, you're going to be like Narcissus. You're going to be like Lucifer. You're going to worship yourself. Remember, you've got only two kings in your life that are significant. You got either King Christ Jesus or King what? Self. Now, you might find a middle ground in there through your deception, but you only got two kings that you're going to try to serve or worship. You're going to serve Christ Jesus or yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're a lousy God. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. You are a lousy God. Because in order for you to rule, you got to lie, cheat, scheme, you got to manipulate, you got to get violent every now and then to try to get your point across. Come on, talk to me, somebody, because you're limited. You got to sleep sometime. You don't have enough resources, and so you got to twist stuff every now and then, which means you got to work with the covering cherub. God created you. You did not create yourself. You're not a self-creation. You hear all these lies. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. The devil is a lie. Ain't no self-made folk. It's by the grace of God. It's by the mercies of God. Some of you even slept last night. And the ones that didn't, I don't know why you didn't. Now, I know you can tell me 3,000 things that kept you from sleeping, but the Bible says that God has given us sweet sleep. And the Bible says one of the reasons why is because we need the sleep, and it tells us our God neither slumbers nor sleep. So if he don't need to sleep, obviously, and I need to, you need to take advantage of that. One of the reasons why we may not sleep as we should is because the covering cherub may be too close. Now, you were created by God to worship him. You were created by God to give him the due. Some of you are challenged in what? Acting and having the right attitude and what? Giving yourself wholeheartedly to God. And you can tell me all the excuses of why you can't worship, why you can't praise God. But when you start to tell me why, I understand the reason why is because of the covering cherub. This principality, this power, this unclean spirit. It may even be a house pet. Come on, talk to me, somebody. It may be something that was passed down in your birth order, in your bloodline. It may be a generational thing where y'all just don't worship Jesus like that, but the devil is a lie. We were created to worship God. How dare you sit on God's? We talked about it last week. We are supposed to magnify the Lord together. We are supposed to enlarge him. And you may say, well, I just don't feel like, enlarging God. But I'm going to tell you, you need to feel like it all the time. The reason why you and I need to enlarge God is not that God is small. If we don't, you can't diminish God. God is self-sufficient. He is self-existent. Remember, you were birthed by God. You didn't birth God. I know some of you want to keep him in a box, like a jack in the box. You only want to take him out and use him whenever you're desperate. But no, it don't work like that. God created you to worship him. And I'm going to tell you, if there's anything I can do, I can make some noise. I may be on key, off key, but yeah. But for you professionals, yeah, I know. Yeah, you American Idol folk, yeah, you know, you off key, you know, you in the wrong, yeah, so what? But I'm biblically correct. The Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. So I know how to do that now. Now, maybe you need some training, but I got that. I can do that. And I dare say you can too. How dare we sit on God and talk about, well, I just ain't feeling it, God. You know, I'm tired. You know, I'm hurting my back pain. It's messing with my neck pain and, you know, my rheumatism. And I understand all that stuff. But I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. We serve a prayer-answering God. We serve a God who keeps putting food in our mouth, clothes on our back, and he does it because he loves doing it. Trust me, don't get all crazy and to think that you and I deserve this stuff. No, it's only because of his mercy. It's because of his goodness. I mean, come on now. It's because of his love. And, you know, we're created to worship God. We're created to praise him. So when you don't cooperate with me, because I believe in magnifying God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, come on, somebody bless his name. Somebody give him some high praise. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we bless you. We praise you. Hallelujah. I mean, how much does it take? You know, someone said, well, I need to take some time and think about it. What do you got to think about? What do you got to think? That's the thing. You know, Trump, well, I got to make a list and I got to see if God really. Man, what's wrong with you? In this scripture here in Ezekiel, we're almost done. Praise God. In Ezekiel here, and we're not really going to focus on this, but if you look at the complementary companion vein of scriptures, for this particular one, it's found in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. And again, in your reading, it talks about Lucifer and how he got his start. It gives you further information here. The prophetic word came forth, and it gives us some insight to Lucifer's creation. Now, one of the bad things about Lucifer, when he was created, you know, I mean, he was over a third of the angels. They were part of the praise and worship crew. A third of the angels were set aside to initiate and to activate and to bless and praise God. And Lucifer was over that. Now, some of you Bible readers understand that there's a couple of more angels that are listed in Scripture. Their names are Michael. Come on, talk with me, somebody. And what's the other angel's name? Gabriel. Now, if you look on the end of both of those names, you see the letters E-L. Now, first of all, that means they had God name, El, in their name. Lucifer, he should have figured out something was up. There was no El in his name. There was no El in his name. He should have figured, hey, what's wrong, Daddy? God, you know, I noticed you named me ER, not, is you trying to tell me something that's going to be an emergency someday in my existence? Is there a crisis coming? Because there's no ER, there's an ER in my name. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Because one day there was a crisis. One day there was an emergency. One day the crazy Lucifer fell in love with himself. God created him beautiful. There was no one in heaven, no created being in heaven that had his beauty. Oh, my God. And but he had a function and a purpose and a job. There was a reason for his existence. It was to lead praise and worship in heaven. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And he had a whole crew, thousands and millions of angels. Billions of angels were under his authority, under his rule. And God created him with every melodious sound that you can ever imagine musically. It was in him. It was created and intertwined and put inside of him. Anytime he wanted the piano sound, all he had to do was think it and then release it into the atmosphere of heaven or wherever he was. The horns, all he had to do was think it and activate it, and the horns blew. God gave him that authority, gave him that anointing and that power. He was indeed the anointed cherub that covereth. Until one day, iniquity was found in him. It was found in him. It was found in him. Now, God didn't put it there. It was because of Lucifer's self-love. It was because of Lucifer's, oh, my God, we got to go to the 14th chapter. Come on, 14th chapter of Isaiah. Come on, quick. Hallelujah. I want you to see this, what this crazy, insane guy, you know, you can't afford to. That's why I tell you, as you get older, you better have a sense of humor about growing older. Because all this stuff you know, used to rave about how you all that in a bag of chips. Well, guess what? Gravity is going to start pulling on some of that stuff. And yeah, it is, okay? Look here in the 12th verse of the 14th chapter of Isaiah, the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Look at verse 12. What does it say? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now, I want you to look at something here. This is what this crazy, he fell in love with himself, and then he got so, one thing you have to understand, when he was over the praise and worship, and so when he would ascend and go up to orchestrate the praise and the worship in heaven, all the worship would emanate in heaven. Around the throne. That's where his job was, around the throne in the Holy of Holies. He had a job that was like none other. His job was key. His job was what needed and necessary. And so he could feel the worship. Anybody ever feel the anointing? Anybody ever feel some of the worship as it was going up? As the praises would go up, the blessings come down. You can feel this intensity, this electricity, this excitement, this glory. He felt it, and it felt so good to him. Until one day he decided, I want this, gotta have it. He must have been an American. Because you know, good and well, we gotta have everything that shakes, moves, and the stuff that don't move. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Look at verse 13. It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Look at the next. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon what the mount of the congregation in the sides of the, look at it. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Self-will was his problem. You know, praise God, it's good to have ambition. Come on, talk to me, somebody. We need hope and expectation, setting goals and plans. But if it's not in the will of God, if it's not in the will of God, I'm going to say it again, if it's not the will of God, if it's just self-will, it's just like Lucifer. If it's just self-will alone, well, you know, if I do this, if I do that, then I'm going to be this. No, where's God? Where's the plan of God in this process? Did you pray? Did you ask God for this? Or is this an Eve Ishmael you birthing? Lucifer kept saying, I will. I will. What have you been saying? James said, Jesus' half-brother, he said, we ought to be praying if the Lord will. Lucifer was plagued by his own self-centeredness, his own desire for self-gratification, for self-exaltation. And he got him busted. What about you? We're called of God as a holy priesthood. You are a priest, my brother. You are, I know some of you say, man, there you go again. You know, all these weird stuff. I'm just telling what the Bible says. The Bible says you are a priest of God. You may not feel like it, look like, I ain't asking about that. I'm just telling you what the book says. In the new covenant, every believer is a priest of God. Some of you look more, you want to be more American than priest. We need deliverance from the corrupt ideologies and the corrupt stuff that America, and I know some of you say, man, what are you smoking? I'm just telling you. And God doing the job, I'm telling you, y'all, you better get your Christianity straight. I'm telling you, the way this, oh my God, you better know God in these days. Everything looked like American and Christian and biblical. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You better be able to get your worship and your praise on when things are going bad. Some of you say, well, things are going bad in my life. Well, this is good practice time. You need to practice right now worshiping God in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the trial. If that's one thing I've learned, and I've been learning, still learning, you know what? I'm going to praise God anyhow. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, whether things are sad, whether things don't look so good today or tomorrow, I'm going to praise me some Jesus. I'm going to give God the glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because he deserves it. He's deserving. Our God deserves the praise. He deserves the worship. He deserves the adoration, the thanksgiving. He deserves the exaltation. Our God is worthy. And for you proud, arrogant people under the sound of my voice, you say, well, you know, it don't take all of that. The devil is a lie. And you plan on going to heaven with us? I'm getting practice in now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if you don't praise God, you know what it's telling me? I'm going to say it again. I hope you understand this. It means that the covering cherub is connected to you, close to you. The connecting cherub, this covering cherub, rather is too close to you. God said, he said, I'm gonna bring him down. He said, I'm gonna throw him down to the ground. And I want you to look at him. We're almost done. Most preachers in America dare not preach and talk about Satan, Lucifer. Oh no, we just preach Jesus. Now, we ain't talking about the devil. No. And I understand I preach Jesus too, but I ain't crazy either. The Bible says we're supposed to look at him. We just read there in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. He said, I want men and came to look at you, Lucifer. I want them, and now mind you, when you look at the devil, you're supposed to be looking down on him, not up to him. And see, that's some of our problem, too. Some of us have magnified the devil, magnified our problems, magnified our situations, and not our God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, somebody. Somebody give him some glory. Magnify. Talking about how faithful he is. Talking about how loving and kind and gracious. Talk about how he's a healer. He's the healer. He's the financier. Hallelujah. He make a way out of no way. When other folks say you can't, our God says we can't. They say it's impossible, but my God says that all things are possible. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, somebody. Oh, give his name some glory. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. They said you can't do it. You can't do it. They said, you know, you crazy for trusting in somebody you can't see. They say you crazy for throwing away the pills, the medication. But Jesus, oh, glory to God. And I realize some of y'all conservative because you don't want to ruffle up your suit. You don't mess up your hair. You might as well sweat it out. Back in the day, I used to sweat stuff out for the devil during the bump, the bop. They got some of the gross names for the world dances, don't they? The dog. I mean, come on, some of these dances, that ought to tell you where spirit it comes from. You know, the perverted dance where the young people and the old G's, I guess, whatever, they get up and they get on the dance floor and they get so close, you would think that they parted the other person's body. And they get their groove on. Yeah, I used to groove for the devil. But I discovered, and I'm yet discovering, hallelujah. There's only one God that deserves that kind of attention. His name is Jesus. Let me hurry up now. Let's look at this covering cherub. We read here. Come on. Praise God. Back over in Ezekiel. O covering cherub, in verse 16. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 16, the last part of that. We're almost done. God said, I'm going to destroy that spirit, that entity. And God wants to destroy it in your life today. The covering chair may be masquerading in your life as infirmity, as financial crisis, as emotional depression and despondency. The covering cherub may be masquerading in your life as greed, lust, escapism, irresponsibility, rebellion. The covering cherub may be masquerading in your life as ignorance. Spiritually, you're ignorant of the truth and some of it just plain absolute resistance to the truth. It's a spirit of deception that you are in covenant with. The covering cherub may be masquerading in your life as a lack of control, lasciviousness, where you war against the Holy Ghost. You rise up against the Spirit of God out of rebellion and you tell God, you know how to fix you. You know what's best for you. The covering cherub may be masquerading in your life as just, you know what, I just like being a couch potato. It could be the tube, the television. It could be that car, that fancy car you drive. The covering, now mind you, I'm talking about demons, y'all. Come on, let's just make it plain. I'm talking about unclean spirits. I'm talking about entities without physical bodies. I'm talking about invisible creatures that are in the earth to get us to disobey God. You know what you have given into, and you say, it don't take all of that. I don't know why you keep tripping, preacher. First of all, this thing is real. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe that's the covering cherub. Keep lying to you because you believe in the Easter Bunny. You believe in Christmas. You believe in all this crazy fantasy stuff. Because that stuff would affect your relationship with God. Or maybe it's you like getting your freak on every now and then, and that will interfere with your pursuit for self-happiness. The only happiness that is guaranteed for anybody is trusting Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, all this other crazy stuff you see on TV and the movies, that's, remember, you forget, this TV. It's a movie. They read a script. Now, mind you, God has given you a script. It's called the scriptures. There's a part for you to act. Worship is an act. It's also an attitude. You see some of these actors, they can cry in a New York minute. And sometimes, man, how did they do that? They say, well, I'm into the part. Some of us, that's the problem. You're not into the part yet. That's why you can't worship God. That's why you can't praise God. That's why you are ashamed of what other people are going to say, what other people are going to do. Because you're not acting the part. You're not into the part. You haven't been reading the script like you should. You haven't been talking to the author, the playwright, the script writer. You need a closer relationship. Why? So that you can tell the covering cherub, no, not today. Not on my watch. No, I'm getting mine today. Oh, yeah, I'm not leaving up and out of here without me getting my praise on. You've got to be out of your crazy religious mind. No, I'm going to get mine. There's something about leaving here knowing. You know, in pro football or pro sports, they talk about leaving game on the court or leaving game on the field. And they talk about what giving it all they got. Why can't we buy into that? Some of us leave out of here half full and three-quarter full, but you ain't 100% full. Why? Because you didn't, give it all. No, this is not about percentages. It's about what? You giving yourself wholehearted to God, spirit, soul, and body. Which might mean when you leave here, you may be so exhausted physically. You might have a hangover. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And you know, back in the day when you used to get your stuff on, you didn't worry about a hangover. Why are you worried now? Well, I don't know. I just may not have anything left. That's the whole point. The covering chair wants to rob you of the experience of you touching God. I mean, have y'all gotten to the place where there are times when you know you've made contact with God, where you've touched God, where you have actually moved God and you caused him to respond to your sacrifice? Come on, talk to me, somebody. You and I are supposed to be what? A living sacrifice. In conclusion, turn over here to Psalms 149. The psalmist here gives us a key. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The psalmist gives us a key. Verse 6. Oh, God, we could read all this again, but we're not. Verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. It didn't say low praise. For you conservative Christians, for you religious addicts, it said high praise. Do I have to be an etymologist here to explain that? It says let the high praises of God. Now, in the Amplified Version, it says high praise. In the New American Standard, it says high praise. In the NIV, it says may the high praise. It doesn't change. Well, in the NIV, it says may the praise of God be in that. So it doesn't say high praise. That's one reason why I was reading this like this, to see which translations. And sometimes with the NIV, I have problems with it. Some of you may have heard. Because it doesn't say high praise, it says make the praise of God. It should be high praise. And somebody says, see there, I told you. See there, one of the NIV versions too. I don't have to get loud like that. You religious devil, you. Yeah, I just said it. Now, I'm going with three of the four translations I got here before me. And plus two, I know good and well, I've been high praising God for a long time. I know the benefits. Oh, yeah, come on, talk to me, somebody. I know good and well if I praise God enough, my situation is going to be changed. First of all, the pain I may have came in the building with going to be gone. G-O, gone. That ain't gone, but you understand what I'm saying. I know good and well if I praise me some Jesus up in here, glory to God, if I can get somebody to touch and agree and be a witness, glory to God, the praise will bring God's presence into the building. The Bible says that our God lives, abides in the praises of his people. Do you understand that? He lives, he abides, he dwells in the praise of his people. I'm going to say that again. Do you understand that our God lives, abides, and dwells in the praise of his people? You're talking about being activated. Praise activates God. It causes him to look over and look down and say, what's up down there? Look what happens when you praise God. You don't not only praise him, but God then puts a two-edged sword in your mouth to execute vengeance. Verse 8, to bind. Verse 9, and to execute upon them the judgment written. So when you praise God, God puts a two-edged sword in your mouth, and we'll say it again, when you worship God, the flip side of worship is what? Warfare. And you dismantle covering cherubs, outlaw alien entities from hell. You get rid of the riffraff. You dismantle and destroy the enemy that's close to you. And generally speaking, you know what demon it is because it's the one that now is acting crazy inside of you or near you. And it's the one that said, no, you don't do that. Don't you dare raise your hand. Don't you dare raise your arm. Don't you dare shout. Don't you dare cut a rug for diseases. These people, they're going to laugh at you. I could care less whether you laugh, whether I got three left feet or two left feet. It don't matter if I'm cutting a rug for Jesus, dancing before the Lord, making a shout unto the Lord, leaping for joy. Hey, what does it matter to you? I ain't trying to worship you. Maybe that's your problem. You think I ought to be trying to worship you and pay some attention to your ideas and your concepts. No, I'm out to bless God. What about you with your conservative self? Now you're telling me you got a covering demon, a covering cherub that wants to rob you of the anointing coming into your life. Because remember now, this covering cherub don't have the anointing anymore and trying to rob you of getting it. That's what it's about. He's not anointed anymore. He used to be, and trying to rob you and keep you from being anointed and from you experiencing the anointing. But the devil is a lie. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, somebody. Oh, come on, make his praise loud. Make his adoration glorious. Come on, bless God, somebody. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. He's worthy. You lying, covering cherub, we bind you with our praise. We dismantle your exploits. We dismantle and crash your party for us in the name of Jesus. We bless God today. We praise the name of Jesus. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth, my brother. Let the high praise of God. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet if you can. Come on, stand up to your feet. Give him a wave offering, somebody. Come on, go beyond your own natural self. Get supernatural. Get supernatural. Get supernatural. It's supernatural to bless God. It's supernatural to praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Magnify, oh magnify, oh enlarge, oh God. Talk about how good he is, how he healed you, he protected you again. Your life, he brought deliverance into your affairs. He bless you with that job, he bless you with that home, that vehicle, those clothes, those friends are not backstabbers. Oh, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Well, praise the name of Jesus. That was Apostle Leonard Emmons from the Living Way Christian Center. Oh, he's not finished. But we bless God for Apostle Emmons, that he come with so much fervency and sincerity and just so much love for God. My pastor, Apostle Leonard Emmons, and I just want to encourage everyone on the line, if you would like to subscribe to Apostle Emmons CDs, you can go to our website and go to the comment tab, and we'll be more than happy to sign you up to a subscription. You will get, I think, 4 CDs per month, and if there's a 5th Sunday in that month, you'll get 5 CDs per month. And I believe each CD is $10. And if you order the whole month subscription, you'll get the CD package for $40 per month. We have to cover our overhead and our shipping costs. So all of that is included. And if you want to subscribe to any of the teaching that comes on the Blog Talk Radio with Kingdom Builders International, go to our website. Again, go to the donation tab. And you can sow that way to the subscription. Just say the teacher's name and the broadcast that you would like, and we'll get it shipped out to you right away. Again, I want to encourage you, when you sow into any of the men and women of God that come on the broadcast, you're sowing into God's kingdom, because all of the funds that's raised are sowed back into the ministry and into others. So I just thank God for what he's doing. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox. I'm here. We'll be here every Sunday. I'm here on Saturdays, with Saturday with the Word myself. But on Sundays, we'll now have live recordings every Sunday. If not Apostle Emmons, it will be someone that is anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost. So you can begin to tune in on Sundays at 7. We're trying to fill up every evening with a broadcast at 7 or 8 p.m. Then if you do order the subscriptions of any other broadcast, we'll send you out a schedule so you'll know the schedule of Kingdom Builders. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to send blessings to everyone that's on the line. I want to encourage you to stay on the wall and remember, praise and worship is what we do. When we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth, in spirit and in truth. And we praise God with a loud sound. Just tell Him, hallelujah, glory to your name, God, for you're worthy of all the honor, you're worthy of all the praises, and you're worthy of my praise. So I just want to thank you once again for tuning in. And if there's anyone that are on the line that would like to get a subscription, again, I want you to press 1 on your phone, and we'll be more than happy to sign you up. If there's anyone that would like to get a copy of James Brown's book, I want to encourage you to go to the website, and there's an area on the website where you can see, you'll see his book, and you can purchase the book on the website. And also, I believe, okay, we'll be doing a prophetic prayer conference in Detroit, Michigan. The date has been changed. It will be August the 24th and 25th. And that will be in Detroit, Michigan, Kingdom Builders Prophetic Intercessors 2-Day Workshop Conference. Registration fee is $50. It will include your breakfast and your lunch on those 2 days. Also, we would have, there's a list of classes. If you want information about that, again, go to our website. You could even give us a call at 586-914-1251. We'll be more than happy to give you the information that you need. And then on Sunday, August the 26th, we will be ministering at New Prosperity Missionary Baptist Church, and that's in Detroit, Michigan, with the pastor, Ferguson is the pastor. And we will be bringing the word on that Sunday with Maxine and her husband, Ferguson, pastor and his wife, on that Sunday. So we'll keep you posted of our itinerary. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in. God bless you. May the love of God keep you. Father, we thank you for this time with you, and we just ask you right now that you would just pour out your spirit upon the listeners, Lord God. Father, we draw a bloodline of protection around them, that the enemy cannot come through the blood. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' holy name, we say amen and amen. Well, God bless everyone. Have a wonderful evening and enjoy the rest of your evening. God bless you. Again, it's Prophetess Teresa. Have a good evening. God bless.